Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way! No way!
Johnson has run over to score. This is incredible. This is ridiculous. This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter.
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook weekly wrap for episode 3 in 2024 on what's a historic day for the NRL, the season opening doubleheader in Las Vegas. In today's podcast, I'm going to finish off my season preview, looking at my predictions for the teams that finished first to fifth on the ladder in 2023. And I'm going to review the round zero games between the Roosters and the Broncos and the Rabbitohs and the Seagulls today. What a cracking day. So let's kick it off with our fifth place team from 2023, and that's the Newcastle Knights. So they had a slow start to the season last year and then just went on an absolute tear, coinciding with the return of their gun fullback, Kalen Ponga, and he went on to win the Dally M. Yeah, ahead of SJ there. So they finished fifth. Yeah, and basically they looked like they weren't much hope of making the eight. And Ponga was out with some concussion injuries, as we know. So how are they going to go this year? I think their stocks are pretty good. I'm predicting a finish between third and seventh on the ladder in 2024. So my thoughts is, of course, a bit like Manly Seagulls, they're very reliant on the health of their fullback, Kalen Ponga. But in my opinion, he is a star. He's a generational talent. And last year, he finally started to realize some of that unbelievable potential that, you know, so many people seeing him come through the grades knew that he had. So, yeah, I think they're set for a huge year. They've recruited pretty well around him. So they got those couple of Pommy boys. It's going to be a step up for them, but I think they've got a good side around it. I really like their recruitment of Jack Cogger as well. It's going to keep Tyson Gamble on his toes. Not only that, but, you know, he can play the 5'8 role, but he can also play that 14 role really well. So, and he straightens up the attack like not many players can do in the NRL. So, yeah, Jack Cogger is a really good pickup there. I'm of the belief that Ponga is the best Supercoach player in the game. I know that there's a lot of Turbo fans out there, so but I do think he's the best player in the game when he's playing like he was last year, and I think he'll come out and be the same or even better, to be honest. So he'll be in my team, and he'll feature prominently on a weekly basis for my captain considerations. I was very keen on Jaden Brayley prior to the season, priced at 330K in the hooker position. He looked like great value, but once again, he's been struck down by injury. He's not. It's come out recently that in the late mail that he's not going to play round one, so that's derailed his start to the season a bit, and it's just a bit of a wait and see at the moment. Dylan Lucas and Kai Pierce-Paul, they're hard to bring in because we don't really know what's going to happen there. They may cannibalize each other's Supercoach points, but if Kai Pierce-Paul, there's a bit of word around that Kai Pierce-Paul is going to start on the edge. I mean, he's going to be pretty hard not to bring in, and you know, maybe a few early trades there, because a couple of players in Siwa Wong and Brennan Piakura, yeah, both of them copped unfortunate injuries today, so we'll have to keep a close eye on that. I thought Will Price was very good in the preseason. I haven't seen him play before in the Super League. He's priced at 345K, which is pretty cheap, so it's worth keeping an eye on. I mean, I'd be really keen on him if he was able to jag that right wing spot. I know Ponga goes left a lot, but he has been making an effort to get down that right-hand side, and he can throw a pretty good, decent left-to-right pass. Can get away from him sometimes. He's obviously better on the other side, I think. But, yeah, I mean, if Will Price was able to jag a wing spot or maybe a centre spot and then move Dane Gagai to wing, yeah, I'd have a really close look at him at that price. Obviously, you got Greg Marzu and Bradman Best, but they're too expensive for me. I wouldn't knock anyone who's going to start with them, but, yeah, they're too expensive for me. I thought the Knights, in terms of their trials, they trialed okay. They blew out a bit against the Melbourne Storm in Fiji. You know, the Melbourne Storm, they're a polished outfit, and they usually turn up, you know, pretty deep into the squad. Whereas other teams, it falls away a little bit when you get into sort of the back end of their top 30. Whereas Melbourne Storm, they just seem to have that culture of just turning up. And I felt like that result was more a reflection of that than how the Knights are going to go this year. Righto, on to my team and the fourth place team from last year, and that's the New Zealand Warriors. I think the Warriors have recruited pretty well. They have a plethora of good kids coming through the system, and they look solid for 2024. So despite all of that, it's probably the health of the veteran Sean Johnson that will have a huge bearing on their premiership chances this year, I think. So I am tipping the Warriors to finish somewhere between first to fifth, but I think most likely they'll finish top four. You know, people could say I'm a bit biased, but just looking at their list, they haven't really lost anything from last year, and then they get back a strike weapon like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. The younger players are another year older. They're another year under the system of Webster. So, yeah, I've got really high hopes for the Warriors, obviously dependent on injury for SJ. Amazingly, looking at Supercoach-wise, the most popular Warrior by a fair way is RTS. So I thought he might be a bit of a pod play coming back because he's priced at around that 540K mark. You have to pay above mid-range prices for him in the position. But, yeah, with his ownership percentage, yeah, obviously a lot of people have been suitably impressed by RTS in the preseason. Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's undeniable. He's been impressive, but it's hard to see how he presents that much value in that position unless he's like a maybe like a 2024 version of Dane Gagai last year. So Dane Gagai averaged 72 as a non-goal-kicking center, which is pretty elite. Normally, you know, you talk about your Val Holmes and that, but they're bumped up by goal-kicking. So, and normally I try to have a rule where I stay away from the non-goal-kicking centers just because wingers tend to score better in Supercoach, and centers is a sort of a position where, you know, a game can go by and you can play quite well in center, but you might only get 30, 35, 40. I don't think it'll be that way for RTS. I think he'll come looking for it. And the fact that Tane Tuipiki is going to be playing fullback in the early rounds is probably a big chance that he goes back there at some stage throughout the game, depending on what their rotation is. But, you know, he could find himself playing a little bit of fullback or coming into roam for sure. I don't think there's any reason Supercoach-wise that SJ can't continue his stellar form from 2023, but obviously at his age, there's always an injury risk, and he's had a few injuries throughout his career. I think most of the Warriors players that are relevant to Supercoach, like Tohu Harris, Wade Egan, Mitch Barnett, Dallin Watini, Zelezniak, Zalesniak priced correctly. They don't overly present any value to buyers. There are some youngsters there to keep an eye on. They won't start the season in the side unless there's injuries at training. But there's young centre Ali Lauatea. There's a back rower, Jacob Laban. I think Jacob Laban could put some pressure on Jackson Ford for that edge back rower spot, particularly if Ford, you know, doesn't fix up his hands. He's been dropping a bit of ball at the back end of the year and in the preseason. So we'll see how that plays out. And then there's Selu Miela Halasima. He's a middle forward. He's not overly big, but he's just explosive. All of that, three of those boys, they won't start in the round one top 17, but I'll be very surprised if all of them don't get a run at some stage this year. So keep an eye out for them. In terms of trial form, geez, the Warriors, they couldn't be probably more impressive. I think Canberra and the Warriors were definitely the two most impressive trial sides, but you've got to take into account the fact they're playing trials in New Zealand, massive atmosphere on the back of all the momentum they've had last year. So, you know, you can't really compare that to, you know, some of the trials where they're going out to an oval and there's not that many people there. It's almost like playing an early round game, which is good. I think it helps them. So, okay, on to the ever-present Melbourne Storm, who are up next on the list. And I heard a stat the other day that they've made the top four in 15 out of the last 18 seasons. Jeez, that is deeply sustained success there. You just cannot argue with that. It's hard to say they won't be a top four side again this year. They've got the best spine in the comp by mile. You've got Pappenhausen, Jerome Hughes, Munster, and Harry Grant. So across the board, you know, great spine if they can stay fit. I'm predicting the Storm to finish first to fourth. I think they're a genuine top four side. When it comes to Supercoach, the players that I'm interested in from the Storm, Harry Grant, just elite in his position. You have to pay up for him, but it's a tough position, the hooker position. So we'll see what happens with these Eels hookers, but I think Harry Grant's almost a must. I mean, you've got Api Korosau there as well, but the West Tigers didn't look overly impressive in the trial matches, and you know, how much is the kicking really going to add to him? It's sort of like a wait and see there. I think Harry Grant's a good place to start, and then you could downgrade him possibly if you feel that way after 2 or 3 weeks. Ryan Pappenhausen, 644.5K, which seems ridiculously cheap for him. He's still probably underpriced, even though he loses the goal kicking. So therefore, he's some decent value. Now, they do have a tough draw, the Melbourne Storm, to start the year. So I think you've got to take that into consideration as well. But I certainly wouldn't be knocking anyone who started with Pappy. I think there's a number of fullbacks, as we saw today, that could score reasonably big. So, and Ryan Pappenhausen is probably one of them. Kane Bradley, where's he come from? That's unbelievable. Like, there's talk that he's set to start as the edge back rower there on the left edge for Melbourne Storm. He's a dual centre wing, 2RF. So, geez, he has to be considered at that price. But, I mean, I saw him play in the Q Cup Grand Final last year, and I thought to myself, you know, he's a good player, but I didn't ever think that he was on the radar of a side like the Melbourne Storm to possibly start in round one. I mean, they signed the kid Jack Howarth, who's priced at 238.9K in Supercoach, available at 2RF, on a 5-year deal maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, and he still hasn't been able to break into that side despite looking good in the All-Stars games, despite looking good for New Zealand B-side that played a couple of rep games at the end of the year as well. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. Cam Munster, obviously always relevant. Munster, 728.1K. I think he's a viable proposition. I think he's probably going to have reasonably low ownership just because he hasn't played any of the trial matches. There's been somewhat of an injury cloud over him. But Munster is largely, you know, the draw doesn't matter to him. You know, it doesn't matter who he plays. In some ways, he plays better and tends to score better in Supercoach against better teams. Like, well, it feels like that anyway. I haven't done the stats to back that up. But, yeah, I wouldn't let I'd let the no trials and the hard draw put you off Cameron Munster. Storm trialed really well, like I spoke about before. They look ready to go. They're very polished outfit. They're always super fit. Okay, on to the Broncos. What can you say about the Broncos last year? Wow, they had a premiership in their hands with 20 minutes to go. And that might just be a game that haunts many of the players and coaching staff for years to come, especially if they don't win a comp in the next 4 or 5 years. They will look back on that and that will haunt them, and it'll probably haunt a lot of supporters as well, because the Broncos are a big club, but they haven't won a premiership for a fair while now. So in terms of roster, I think the Broncos, it's pretty clear that they've got weaker. Flegler and Farnworth are basically origin slash international players, Farnworth being the English international. But, you know, I think if he was Australian, he'd be pushing for a centre spot as well. So they've gone to the Dolphins. They still have a quality list, don't get me wrong. But my prediction for the Broncos is they will finish somewhere between third and sixth. Too much quality not to be up there. They're very good at home when they play on a dry, open field as well. And just like Carrigan, Haas, their weakness is probably in the hooking role. You know, they play that two-hooker system. I thought that probably hurt them a little bit today, even though Billy Walters has played some good footy. But, yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about how they went in today's loss to the Roosters a little bit later. Okay, finally on to the Penrith Panthers, three-time defending champions. It's really hard to knock them, even though just year on year they continue to be weakened. And that's what the salary cap's about. It's about the equalization of talent. But they just continue to produce these kids that come through the system. And they are a very system-based side. So they have defensive systems and things like that that are very, very good. And they come out and the players believe in them wholeheartedly and they work. So they've lost Crichton, they've lost Lenu, they've also lost Cogger to the Knights, which is probably a more lower profile one. But, you know, if you go back and watch the grand final, particularly in that comeback, Cogger played a huge role in that. You know, people probably might forget, but I think the way actually went off. He was carrying an injury into the game and then he went off, and Cogger played a huge role in that comeback. I'm predicting a second to fourth finish. I don't think they'll be focused on finishing first, the Panthers, and I think they'll be happy just to make the top four. They're going to have to rely on some fringe players to step up, but that always seems to happen for them. They have so much depth in their club, even kids that we don't know about. But I'm sure, you know, if you're down in New South Wales and you're watching some of the Penrith lower grades, you'd know how strong they are. Yeah, I think, you know, they just keep doing what they've been doing the last 3 years and they finish in that top four. In terms of Supercoach, I think Taylor May is an absolute must. Again, I'm breaking my rule of not picking non-goal-kicking centre wings that are playing in the centres. But Taylor May, he is an exception. You know, he's coming back at an exceptionally valuable price, I guess. He presents value. Like, I think he's going to make you money, score your points, and he could possibly be a year-long keeper. Cleary, he's just too good not to have. He's going to have an increased role. He's going to get his points. You know, like, they generally start the season not focusing as much on beating sides by big scores, and they have some dour games there. So you may have to suffer a little bit if you go in from the start, and you can take your chances, but I think it's probably just easier to put Cleary in there, to be honest. Liam Henry's one that I'm interested in. There was a lot of talk about him in the preseason, but it just doesn't seem like he's going to get the minutes. Looking at the World Club Challenge, which I thought the Panthers were pretty good, they probably got hosed a little bit by a few calls there. Not so much the last call, like maybe you could call that not a try because there was no evidence to overturn it, but the call where the side they were playing, I think it was St. Helens or Wigan, I can't remember now, but basically the lad scored a try and then moved the ball forward off the ground, sort of pushed it forward, like this similar to what Turbo did today, and as soon as you touch the ball, when the ball's on the ground, and then if you roll it forward, that's considered a knock-on. And so Turbo didn't get the try today, but somehow because it went up a try, they found a way to give it a try in that World Club Challenge, and that really cost them. But in the end, I mean, Panthers probably had their chances, and you know, there's a lot of factors that go into playing over there in England, but if they get back to a game like that, geez, I think they're going to be pretty keen to win it because they can't seem to nab one of those World Club challenges. Okay, let's have a look at the round zero review today. And some cracking footy. It was just, you know, as a footy fan, I just felt proud to see how much had gone into it and how many people got behind it, taking rugby league to, you know, the big stage in America. And, it looked like it was a real success. I think it said a lot for what are the things we could bring back to Australia. Well, like the quality of the oval, like the quality of the ground and how much they put into that. Like if we're going to put money into something, like I know that we're not going to get probably stadiums with roofs and things like that, but I thought the field, it just made for a really fast game and the players you know, really seemed to respond to it. And, you know, I'd say probably the best playing pitch in the NRL is the Gold Coast Titans. Like, I've been there and it is like a bowling green, but working towards just getting all fields like that, it would be good. I mean, it's probably weather dependent and things like that. I'm not a grass expert, but that's something that I took out of it. So let's have a look at that game. Some of the impressive Supercoach scores. Trell Mitt, very impressive, looks fit, looks trim, he's hungry, and that's always been the knock on him a little bit, I'd say. Like people are like, oh, he looks disinterested and, you know, he's not getting involved enough and things like that, but it does need to be set up from the inside. But he looked keen today, and he had a good game, 102. These scores are all before updates as well, so, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of the players will get some updates. Hamole Olakau'atu, I thought he was the best player on the field for mine. 91, he's in for a huge season. He was one player that I really wanted to get in draft. I didn't want to spend up as much because there's a lot of sort of mid-range 2RFs that I think will go well. It may not play out like that. Maybe someone finds some of these marquee 2RS and they kill it at the start of the year because they take a different tack, because it seems like everyone's doing the same sort of thing, going cheap in the sort of front row position and then, you know, possibly trying to get the money out of these mid-range 2RFs. So if you're railing against that type of tactic, it might pay off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Reuben Garrick, 91. very good score, possibly flattered a little bit because Richie Kenner is not normally an NRL centre and he cooked him a few times, but he's going to score plenty of points and goals. There's no doubt about that. Like, that Manly side can definitely attack. So I'm just going to wait and see a couple more from Ruben Garrick. But, yeah, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good at centre. And, you know, like I said, if Manly is scoring five tries a game, he's going to kick the goals mostly. So, you know, he's going to have that there to help bump up his score. Burbo, so Ben Trbojevic on the edge, 73. Oh, yeah, he was good. He was good. Hopefully he keeps his spot. Not sure what's going to happen there with Schuster, but, you know, with Schuster or Burbo on the bench, that certainly gives him a bit of strike power. Brooks, 61 with a try and a line break. I had a look at halftime and I thought, he hasn't done that much, Brooks. He was on 26 and I thought, oh, that's pretty good. He looked dangerous. They had a few plays with Tommy Turbo involved. He was running it. So, yeah, again, I want to see a little bit more of Luke Brooks. I did get a bit excited there with the try, but I thought, you know, 61 with a try and a line break, maybe he updates a bit more. But, yeah, that seemed a little bit low to me. Kepi, a lot of talk around Kepi, 42. Yeah, probably around what you'd expect. Could update. Joy Arrow seemed to be picking up injuries left, right, and center there, but knocked out of 42. Damien Cook, 58. I thought he was outstanding NRL wise, but didn't really show up in his score there. I thought he might have been up closer to 70, 75. Again, waiting on updates. These titles could be totally different. So I'm going straight after the game here. But in terms of NRL, what I thought of the game, South did what South do. I mean, let's be honest, they're a bit shorthanded out wide. I mean, you put Campbell Graham into that side, maybe Tyrone Munro, even Thompson. Even though the lad Gagai, he went pretty well. Like, you couldn't knock what he did. But, you know, Richie Kennard is basically, he's been a fringe winger for sides. I thought he did a pretty decent job, scored two tries, but yeah, they were shorthanded out wide. I mean, when they get Whiten back, they're really going to have some strike there. They're obviously not going to get Campbell Graham back for the majority of the year. But even some of those wingers like Tyrone Munro on that right-hand side, if they can get him back round five or six, I heard he's coming back. He's a player that I want to see for Supercoach as well. The biggest thing that caught my eye was Manly, and I said it in my preview about Manly, is I wasn't really sure what to expect with them. So they had that 1 year under Seibold, lots of injury concerns, a lot of hype around Manly in the lead up to this game, a lot of hype around them in the off season. I thought the best thing about that game that I saw was Manly's defensive intent. They really show a lot of line speed, which shows that they're fit. They're very fit. They got up and really gave it to South in periods of the games, particularly when they kicked long and they had them down there. It was really noticeable, and it was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive too. So South started to look for that early shift just to break up that line speed, and they did to an extent, but yeah, I think that was the most impressive thing for me for Manly. Manly's shape and their options as well in attack was very impressive. They're a side that could score a lot of points. I mean, they scored 30 points today, I think it was. Yeah, so they scored 30 odd points. Add Schuster into that also, who's an attacking juggernaut. I mean, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty impressive. So Lawton off the bench provides a bit of spark at a dummy half. Croker was playing big minutes the last couple of years, so I think that helps him as well. Okay, now before we go on to Roosters Broncos, we're going to bring in I'm not sure if it's going to happen this week because I'm recording this at home, and then Timmy cuts it up and he basically puts it out, and he's going to bring in a segment where he does Timmy's takes, a few questions, throws it into the show, you know, maybe like 2 or 3 minutes. So if he is starting that this week, then you'll hear it very soon. And if he isn't, then you can be prepared that it's coming up. It'll be a staple of the weekly wrap, and I'm sure it'll be some very interesting listening. Okay, on to the Roosters versus Broncos, the main game. And, yeah, like, having a look at some of the Supercoach scores, Joey Manu was obviously the most dominant player on the field. They've obviously gone out of their way to try and bring him into the game. They're doing that sort of double drop where he comes under and then just drifts across the ruck, just testing out defenders. I thought that was pretty effective. Got a score of 97. Yeah, pretty impressive, Joey Manu. I mean, you probably won't go wrong if you wanted to grab him, but I'm not sure if he's going to have a game like that every week. Tedesco, very impressive. Looked back to his old self, was getting some clean ball. Probably the best thing that I saw from Tedesco is he brought in that old tactic that Tommy Turbo used to be so good at, is, you know, they're just doing those contestable bombs. So they'd bomb it up and he'd sprint through and jump for the ball. And he's very good in the air. He was very good today. Tommy Turbo was doing a little bit of it and he tried to knock it back with his height. But Teddy, he was just catching the ball and, you know, he did it probably two or three times. And then he did it once off once or twice off a dropout as well. So very effective. And yeah, he's a real option. I mean, like, you look at Latrell Mitt, Reece Walsh was pretty good. Tedesco, and you got Tommy Turbo, you know, and we haven't even seen Drinky and Kalen Ponga play. So there's some real good options there in the fullback position. Very impressed with Terrell May. So he had 60 with updates to come, and he had probably maybe three or four offloads. SC Spy messaged me this morning. He's like, what do you think about Terrell May? And I said, look, to be honest with you, Spy, like, I didn't notice him a lot last year. I wasn't really watching him. Like, Roosters isn't a side that I overly watch, so I don't have an opinion either way on him. So I'm just waiting and seeing. I did watch him closely today because of that conversation, and Spy's been talking him up all preseason. And he knows his footy, so I knew that it wouldn't be for no reason. So, yeah, he was impressive. Like, he seems to be strong, very, very strong comparatively to the NRL. And Broncos are a strong defensive side, so he could really run amok against some of the weaker defensive sides. So it's just going to be minutes dependent. Like, how many minutes is he actually going to get week on week with JWH to come back into that side? So I'm happy to sit there. I'm not going to rush him into my side after next weekend. I'm just going to sit there and probably wait and see what he does in the first 2 weeks and then make a decision from there. Sam Walker, 55. I was really impressed with Sam Walker. He gutted it out. Like, he got whacked. He played tough. He did what he does. I mean, he's obviously going to be suited when he gets back to Australia with longer in goals, because he's probably pretty good at getting those repeat sets and very short in goals there. But yeah, he's not a player that I'm looking at the moment, but I'm just going to keep an eye on how he goes. Sualehi, oh, it's so impressive NRL-wise. I mean, he obviously was named on the wing, I think, with Billy Smith, was a laid out. Porga was good, by the way, too. Like, geez, come in as an 18th man. He was real good. But Sualehi, he's going to have a big season, whether he plays wing or... And I imagine he'll probably play left center. I think Billy Smith will be the unlucky one that misses out, because you've got Dom Young to come back into that side. But 47, I mean, he didn't blow up Supercoach or anything like that, and he's just a watch at the moment, but I could see him being in my side at some stage. Lindsay Collins seemed to play a lot of time, and that might have to do with Hargraves not being there, but only registered a 47. Wouldn't be surprised if that updates to somewhere towards 60, because he played a lot of minutes. Siwa Wong. Oh, a bit of a tale of what could have been. I mean, he went out there and he just tackled his guts out. But then he got injured with about 10 minutes to go. He looked set to get 55, maybe 60, the way he was tracking. But, yeah, he didn't play the last 10 minutes because he had an ankle injury, and it looked fairly serious. He sort of struggled to get up and he was limping with it. So they do have a two-week turnaround. So he could be right, but... yeah, certainly not a great day for our mid-range 2RFs. Obviously, Piakura what can you do? I mean, you know, like, yeah, my youngest fella, he was arming an R and all day. He's like, oh, do I have to have Piakura? Do I need him? I actually said to him, I said, oh, look, Piakura is probably the one that I'm not really sure about because he's a bit more attack reliant, but I do like him. You know, he's got tackle breaks in him. I think he got one early in the game. But I mean, what can you do about that? The injuries, but yeah, young Tyson, my youngest lad, he brought him in like 5 minutes before the game. He said he just got him in before lockout and then he tried to reverse it again because he was umming and ahhing, and he said it was locked. He was locked out by then. So, because the game started a little bit later, but they lock out on the game time. So, unlucky one there, but I think plenty of people had him. So, you just got to roll with the punches with them ones. Brandon Smith, pretty impressive NRL wise. Not really super coach relevant, 42. And you've got Sandon Smith on the bench there, who's going to take a fair few minutes. He looked good when he came on. Spencer Lenu, 40. That's above his price. I mean, if that updates to 45 or thereabouts, we could be looking at something. But, I mean, it's not overly impressive. Like I've been saying with the other forwards, JWH to come back into that rotation there somewhere, he's going to take some minutes. So, because I think Nafu or White probably only played 15 to 20 minutes. He didn't play much time. And JWH is going to take a lot more time than that. So we'll see how it all pans out with the Roosters. There's a lot of mouths to feed. Reece Walsh wasn't his best game, but definitely wasn't his worst either. He's a gunslinger, 72. You know, he's up there with what Turbo got. So if you went with him, stick with him. See how he goes. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. If anything, without Herbie Farnworth there, until Cobbo finds his feet at centre, they might be a bit more reliant on Reece Walsh. So that might elevate his scoring somewhat. Payne Haas was awesome, 60. Again, you know, 60 is a front row forward. You're probably looking for more. Maybe he updates to 70, but yeah, he was good, played big minutes. Jesse Arthurs was another cheapie that a lot of people were looking at. 47, I think you'd have to be happy with that. If he keeps pumping out that, he's going to make you some money, and he's probably a play option, particularly when the Bronx play at Suncorp. And Xavier Willison was a laid out, so not too much to say about Xavier Willison. And just from an NRL point of view, like I said, that tactic that I saw, Tedesco contested bombs, I thought that was something new that the Roosters have worked on in the offseason. Keep an eye on that. Looked really good. The Roosters were impressive. They're a top four side for mine. They're deep. They have a lot of depth in their squad. They've kept the awesome defense that they've had the last few years, and they look like they've got a lot more attack in them. And they're being intentional. They intentionally went out there not to slowly build into their season, which is what they've done in the past. They wanted to win that game. And when a side like that with that much ability goes out there and plays like that, they're going to win a lot of games. I'm actually going to have a look at what they're paying for the minor premiership. And if it's somewhere, you know, more than sort of $7 or $8, I think they're worth a stab in the dark there, because I do think it'll be Roosters, Melbourne or Warriors that'll finish first. Like that's where my head's at with it. Like it could be Penrith, but I'm happy to go away from them on one of those other three sides. I think they're going to have pretty good years. The Broncos, yeah, look, I mean, they're going to win a lot of games, and they're going to win a lot of games at Suncorp. So, yeah, they're going to have a good season. If you're a Broncos supporter, you know, you wouldn't worry too much about that. But I don't know if they've got the same quality as last year. Flegler and Herbie Farnworth are big outs, but probably won't be able to really find out it, until the back end of the year, till Cobbo finds his feet, till we see what the back rowers can do. Obviously, Capewell's an out there. I didn't think he was playing great footy for the Bronx towards the end, but he's experienced. He's definitely an experienced player. So that you also got to take into account today that injury, HIA to Piakura, threw them out a lot. They didn't have a genuine edge forward on their bench rotation. So they had to play Carrigan there, which really hurt their go forward, because normally they'll have Haas and then they'll have Carrigan, and they've got one of the best go forward games in the comp. But that got thrown out because Carrigan had to play on the edge. And that might be something they have to look at, just to see if they can have that player that can play on the edge. So we'll see how Walters handles that moving forward. I think I've covered most of that. One of the things I really noticed, for those that are really students of the game, was the Roosters seem to play. So you've got 12 men in your front line in defence and then your fullback, but they seem to play normally in the traditional coaching, you'll find that teams will play 4-4-4. So they'll play the four on the left side, four middles, and the four on the right side. And from the outside in, that'll be winger, center, half, second rower. And they generally don't go too far out of that shape. That's how they're coached. The Roosters were playing with a fluid six-man middle. And what I mean by that is, like, they locked in their winger, center, and half would be the three men closest to the sideline. But in the middle, there was a number of times, particularly in the start of the game, where what caught my eye is you saw Tupanua and Siwa Wong making a tackle together. And you don't often see the 11 and 12 in a game making a tackle together. Now, what relevance does that have? I'm not really sure, but, you know, it's an interesting tactic from a side that's been a very good defensive side for a long time. It's sort of, I think it's semi-innovative. Maybe I've missed it with other sides, but I haven't seen that sort of flexibility where a left edge back rower can go right over to the right-hand side and chase some work in defense, and they're happy for, you know, for there to be maybe a middle as the foreman in. If you follow footy really closely, like there's certain things that generally aren't done. Generally, they like to put back rowers beside the half to protect them in defence. And, you know, like, it's not like the Roosters have – I would say both the halves were really good defensively, and Sam Walker's worked on his game, but both of them are small players as well. So, you know, it may just been certain parts of the field that where they were doing that, and they were sure that the Broncos wouldn't test them there. But it's something to keep an eye on for future, and I reckon it's something that will pique the interest of opposition teams, and maybe it's an innovation that'll catch on. Okay, that's me for this week for the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap. I'll catch you next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.